You have your Bible with you, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 7 is probably the verse that you're drawn to the quickest. This is one of those places where I'd like to talk to the translators or the ones that established verses, chapters and verses, to understand what it was that caused them to split 6 and 7. It's not that big of a deal necessarily, but at times we use that split to think that there may be a separation when there's really not a separation here. Verse number 6 and 7 are the same hand in the glove. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You see what I mean when I said that we're so often more quickly drawn to that second verse than perhaps we are to the first verse? Verse 6 is kind of obscure. We kind of hide that one a little bit, and our focus, because of our problems or because of our issues, we focus on that second verse that I read, casting all your care upon him because he cares so much for us. An old farmer, I think, I don't know for sure who it was, it just seems to be that it was a farmer that said it, at least that's the way I found it, said that most of the stuff that people worry about ain't never going to happen anyway. Most of the stuff people worry about ain't never going to happen anyway. You've probably thought of that before, too. Didn't have to have somebody tell us that. We've kind of thought about that somewhere along the line, because so often we have, if we look seriously at our experiences, we would have to admit that the majority of the stuff that causes us anxiety or worry just hasn't seemed to happen that way. Dr. M.R. Vincent said that anxiety carries with it a division of faith between God and self. Now, if he's right, there's more to that statement, but I want to cut in there. If he's right, then verse 6 and verse 7 may have a closer link than what we would quickly think about. He said, anxiety carries with it a division of faith between God and self, a lack of faith in God proportioned to the amount of care which we refuse to cast on him. An excess of self-confidence proportioned to the amount which we insist on bearing ourselves. You may need to read that, see that in front of you to get the fullness of that statement. But I believe that what he's saying here, in a way, is that there is a link between the first part of verse 6 and the first part of verse 7. That in our positioning of ourselves before God in humility gives us an easier accessibility to casting our cares upon him. Casting all of our care on God is casting self on God. For self is our worst care. Somebody said that the worst enemy or the biggest problem that we may have is the very one that is staring back at us in the mirror on any given morning. Casting all of our care on God is casting self on God, for self is our worst care. Humble ourselves before Him. Was it Jerry Glick that wrote the words, "I give myself to thee"? I yield myself to His will. That's where what we find in the sacrificial verse in Hebrews that speaks about us giving a living sacrifice to Him. That we provide Him our entirety as a sacrifice where we are completely surrendered to Him and His choices or His will and His way. Now, if you have your Bible open, you want to jump back a verse to verse number 5. It would give us a little bit of a picture of what God is looking at, or how God looks at a person who does not humble themselves. So we really could have gone back to that one, because we have to understand how this all links together. And if we are really going to understand that humility is linking itself to, or should link itself to, this thing of casting our care upon Him, and we see what is being written about God's position or His view of the arrogant, as some translators translate that, then we'd have to understand that we have a decision to make. What is it that God's saying in verse number 5? Well, one translator says it this way, that God sets His face against the arrogant. Dr. Nicholson, R.S. Nicholson, said the divine attitude toward the proud is a challenge to cultivate humility and submission. God sets His face against the arrogant. He goes on to say, but the humble who faithfully submit to Him and trust His purpose, trust His power, trust His providence, have no cause for distressing anxiety, which is the sin of worry. He said their reliance is in Him to whom belongs their care. He watches everything that concerns them, has all things under His control, and is not forgetful. He careth for you, assures us that we are His personal care. Did you catch that? Did you catch it? Now, I think those last three words are Philip's translation about that particular verse. He careth for you. He careth for you assures us that we are His personal concern. How can we relate that to our individual lives? Dads? Moms? Is that a sufficient picture as we look at our concern of our children or grandparents of our grandchildren, how much personal concern we take in them? That when they fall down or stub their toe or some way get a little bit of a hurt. Now, I know that some of us parents brush it off quickly. Oh, you're all right. That didn't hurt that bad. No blood, no tears. Forget it. But there's still an attentiveness that takes place. There's an interest. We want to make sure that even though there's tears, we want to still make sure and see if there's any blood or broken bones. At least some people do that. I think when Caleb broke an arm, we waited for 4 days. Finally realized there might be something more here to this than just a bruise. He survived. No worse for the wear. But I can assure you that Mama's heart was really, really pained that she waited so long. What am I saying? I'm talking about the attentiveness of the parent or the grandparent to that child, and how much greater is the attentiveness of our Father toward us. And that's what the picture is here, that we become His personal care, His personal concern. Now, how attentive is He? Somebody said it this way. Now, follow me here. It may not be extremely fluid, okay? It may not be just completely flowing exactly, but I want to bring this in an attempt to get us to understand His personal concern. Somebody said that we are to live simply, love generously, care deeply, speak kindly. Leave the rest to God. Oh, your mind wheels were turning. Because some people say that, oh, they do love generously, and so often in that generous love that there is nothing but pain in return, or in that deep care for somebody else, there's hurts that come back. I believe that the writer here, and I don't know who it is or who it was, I believe that they're onto something. Live simply, love generously, care deeply, speak kindly, and everything else leave to the hand of God. Leave the rest to God. Now, if we jump over to Matthew chapter 6, well, let's take a look here at Proverbs first. I don't want to sidestep Proverbs. Very familiar verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. We've memorized that, haven't we? Good. I'm glad you have. If you haven't memorized it yet, look it up. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Not very long, two verses, but they're very good verses to commit to memory. They'll be a benefit to you. Trust. How much? With all thine heart. Now, it goes deeper than that. I could really spend a lot of time here, and for a little while earlier in the week, I thought that my whole focus was going to be on this passage. I'm just going to touch on it and briefly move on. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. What is the writer here? What is the wise man saying to us? He's simply saying that when we trust Him, we are in essence taking on that other individual's words, leave all the rest to Him. Trust Him with all of thine heart. Verse number 9 in that same passage, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Oh, preacher, what in the world are you talking about tithing and offerings for? No, I'm not. That's not the point. The point is trust. Because when we do what the proverb writer says here, even in this verse, it is cultivating trust in God. Where I'm not relying on myself and my resources, but I'm relying on God and His resources. Honor the Lord with your substance. You go down just a little bit further to verse number 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. I don't want to talk about discipline this morning. But I believe, again, the picture, the overtone of this passage is that of trusting Him. Trusting Him that whatever comes, whether it be prosperity or some kind of a difficulty, that we are trusting in Him and relying on Him. And that takes us back to that verse in Peter where it says that we are to humble ourselves before Him. Now let's jump on over to Matthew. When we cast our anxiety upon God, when we are trusting in Him, when we are honoring Him, when we allow Him to provide correction to us, we are fulfilling the Lord's commandment. Where Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, "Be not therefore anxious." Matthew 6:31, "Be not therefore anxious about tomorrow." The crock pot's already set for lunch. He's talking about the anxieties of tomorrow. The oven's already set, maybe at your house, to go off. And that meat or whatever's in there is done at 12 o'clock or something. But what about tomorrow? You see, there's all kinds of anxieties about tomorrow. There's all kinds of pressures about tomorrow. What is tomorrow going to bring? What is tomorrow going to hold? We have all these plans laid out. The announcements have been made. There's practices to be accomplished and rehearsal, dress rehearsal to be fulfilled and Christmas program. And somewhere in the middle of all of that stuff there's a whole bunch of shopping and running here and there and going to and fro and preparations to be made for the rest of this year. What about tomorrow and the anxieties that it creates? "Take no thought," he said. "Rather, be not anxious." What is Jesus telling us? Verse number 32, he's telling us that all of these things is what the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of. And what are the words of Christ to his followers when it comes to us being anxious about those things? He said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness. Have you ever read anything about Mueller? And people, men and women like him. You know, the faith that they had and the answers to prayer. Take those children. Mueller would take those children to prayer. The cupboards were empty. You know, there wasn't any thought about what they were going to eat tomorrow because there wasn't anything to eat tomorrow. Maybe they didn't even have anything to eat today. He would take those needs to prayer and leave them at God's feet. And how many times is it recorded that these men of and women of faith experienced or received phenomenal? Probably none of us have to be that concerned about those particular things. But we have plenty of other things that press in upon us. He knoweth that we have need of all these things. Well, wait a minute. Isn't there also another verse somewhere in the Bible that speaks about all things working together for good? Can this context be brought into this particular thought? That he knoweth everything that there is. He knows all about the tomorrows. He knows all about the potential for anxieties. He knows all about the potential that is around us for the problems that may exist that would cause us to be anxious or our cares. He knoweth these things, and he makes all things work together for good to his chosen, to them that love him. A.W. Tozer said this. Listen to what A.W. Tozer said. When I understand that everything happening to me is to make me more Christ-like, it resolves a great deal of anxiety. When I understand that everything happening to me is to make me more Christ-like, it resolves a great deal of anxiety. What does this bring us to? It brings us to two things. Number one, Christians should not make for themselves extra cares. Create anxieties out of nothing. You know, most of the stuff people worry about ain't never going to happen anyway. Number two, that neither should a Christian conjure up Let's not make extra cares. Let's not conjure up the imaginary. You say, well, wait a minute. No, what we're saying is that we are to humble ourselves before God and cast all of our care upon him. Humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, trusting in the Lord with all of thine heart, honoring the Lord, and despising not his chastening, humbling ourselves before him. That way it's easy to cast all of our care, because it's done in trust of him who is mighty and caring. We are his personal concern. You and I can trust him. Let's stand together. We can trust him. Praise God. Brother Ziegler, you haven't been down the road of much suffering. No, I haven't. But I believe that there's enough testimony, enough witness around that he is always faithful. And I believe his word. And that's what his word says for me too. I can trust him. Praise God. Praise God. Ken White, would you dismiss us with prayer?